Well, I'd like to continue in the word a little bit here from the book of Acts. Let's look in the book of Acts chapter 17, because of course, as the Holy Spirit usually does, what Pastor Lito was sharing about discouragement and how God is so very close and wants to be our best friend as we turn to Him in those times, we see some of God's attributes explained by the Apostle Paul as he preaches in Athens about the unknown God to the Athenians and brings out some beautiful attributes of the Lord that really show why he is who he is in being there when we're discouraged and pulling us out of that pit, and how he can do that because of his great knowledge and anointing. And so let's just take a look here, and let me put this on real fast. In Acts chapter 17, as we take a look here in Acts 17 and beginning at verse 19. Actually, we left off at verse 18 on Sunday morning. And so I want to bring to you now the next verse and about the unknown God. Now it says here that these in Athens who worship many different gods, on every corner there were all kinds of altars and gods. They actually took the Apostle Paul after he started preaching Jesus to them and letting them know about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They took him and they brought him to Areopagus, which is actually better known to us as Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, where they wanted to hear from Paul because, let's just read what it says in verse 19, they took him there to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof you speak is? For you bring certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing." And so when he started preaching Jesus to them, they're thinking, you know, we just love to hear about new things. And this is what they did all the time on Mars Hill. And so Paul was blessed with that tradition because they dragged him up there to Mars Hill and just, "Let us have it, Paul. Tell us what's on your mind here. You're speaking about strange things to us," as he was preaching Jesus to them. And so in verse 22, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious.'" Now, as you read this in the King James, you think that he's putting them down for being too superstitious. But actually, it is a positive thing that he's saying. He's trying to make a connection with them. He's telling them that they're very religious. And because they're very religious and they've got all these gods everywhere, he then makes a connection with them with an altar they built to an unknown god, because probably thinking they're leaving somebody out and all these gods they had. And Paul then makes that connection with them, with the unknown god, so he can preach to them about Jesus and about salvation in the Lord. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions," verse 23, "I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,'" how big our God is. And as we look at these things concerning how big he is and how much he knows about you, in a very intimate, very close way, we can see how we can go to him in our despair, as Pastor Lito was ministering, and receive so much of a real touch from him, that we might be able to, as David, to go ahead and stand up and look up and trust the Lord. And so here he says, "God that has made the world," verse 24, "and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands." All of these idols you have and these places of temple worship, that's not the Lord. The Lord's much bigger than that. He's great big. He made everything and everybody that's in everything that was made. And he goes on and says, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all, that's everybody, all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, looking at verse 25 at the end, he gives to all life, every living thing, and breath. Every time I take a breath, it's because God has allowed me, and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men. You know, it reminds me of Psalm 24, and I'll just quote that first verse to you. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. Everybody that lives on this planet was made by God. And so as we begin to have a temptation to be afraid of man, to be afraid of other countries, of different things in other countries and what's going on in other countries, and God is just as much there as he is here. And again, just blessing God for Pastor Ito's visitation here. When we were in Jordan, and we'd always been afraid of Jordan because of the Palestinian influence and so forth, and just scary stories and demonstrations and different things and going on there and stuff. But when we were in Jordan, our guide, Stefan, that was showing us around Jordan, told us he was coming to the United States. And so we said to him, well, you have to stop by the LA area where we are and check us out and say hello when you get here. And he said, there's no way I'm going to where you live. There's too many killings on the streets. And it just was an eye-opener to me, because we're afraid to go there and they're afraid to come here, because what do they see on the news? You know, all the gang killings in LA. And so he was going to steer clear and just go to the Grand Canyon and that's it. I'm going as far as Arizona and I'm out of here, you know, is what he was saying. And it just kind of hit my funny bone. But God is in charge of the whole world. God's everywhere in this whole world. And it's such a blessing to get reports from the other side of the world and what God is doing. It's just great. He is truly in charge. And it gives me a peace about being able to go to places and to go to different places where it might be dangerous, you know. And God has used this in my own life this week to just speak to me about it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell therein. We have got a great, great big God. And he's bigger than any of our problems. He's bigger than any discouragement or any slew of despond we can get into. And so there he is, Mr. Big God, and he's our God, and he's very close to us, and wherever we go, he goes with us. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, and so we can take him to any place at any time. Now let's go on and take a look at how intimately he's involved with our lives. He has made, verse 26, it says, he has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and he's determined the times before appointed. He's actually appointed the times in your life. He actually knows, because of his foreknowledge, exactly what you're going to do next. I don't even know what I'm going to do next. Do you know what you're going to do next? So many times, man's ways... How's it go? Man's ways are of the Lord. How can then a man understand his own way? That's why we're told, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That he appoints the times in your life. He's the one that lays out this path before you that we simply walk in. I love Psalm 139, and I'm going to read something from the Living Bible. So you can turn there to this scripture, but it probably won't be the same in your translation. But I love it so much in the Living Bible, I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. Psalm 139, verse 16, talking about how our times are in His hands. It says this, Lord, You saw me before I was born. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Whoa! Scheduled each day of my life before I even began to breathe. Now, that doesn't mean that He makes choices for us. But because of His foreknowledge, He knows what choices you're going to make. And He's got countermeasures, just like a submarine will drop countermeasures when there's a torpedo coming at it. God has countermeasures already prepared, and He knows how you're going to react to those countermeasures when you're on the wrong road. And He knows how to bring you back as you turn your life over to Him into going in a straight path. And so very simply, we're told this, and I love it. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. I love this. I love the security of it. Jesus Christ is my security blanket. So as those things come our way, that's why God can say all things work together for good. All things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose, because He scheduled my day. You know, the president has a chief of staff. And in many instances, the president will call his chief of staff in the White House and say, so what's on the schedule for today? And the chief of staff of the White House has scheduled his day for him. Well, you and I, we can get up in the morning and go, Lord, what's on the schedule for today? Because He scheduled my day for me before I even began to breathe. To me, that is awesome. And it's lovely. And He can do that because He's a great big God. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. So when am I going to die? I'm going to die when the Lord says, it's time for you to die. That's when, and not before. And as certain circumstances come my way, those circumstances have been designed specifically for me to help me in my spiritual growth. Years ago, when I was first a pastor, I was asked to visit a paraplegic in the hospital. He was only 26 years old. He was paralyzed from the neck down. He was a highway patrol officer chasing a Porsche at 135 miles an hour, and he rolled his car. And the next thing he knew, he woke up 3 months later in the hospital in Long Beach there, the Veterans Hospital in Long Beach, without the use of his arms or legs. And I was asked to go visit him in the hospital. And I was a young pastor, I was just in my 20s. And I thought, man, I don't think I can do this. What am I going to say to him when I get to the hospital? But you know, I bucked up and prayed up and got in the car and went over there. And to my amazement, it wasn't what I had to say to him, but what he had to say to me. He said, Mark, I feel like I'm in a God capsule. I was an arrogant, prideful atheist. I didn't believe in God, and I was proud of it. I had a wife and 3 kids. When I woke up from this coma, my wife had taken the kids and left me. So he was really hurting in that way. But he said, I can't explain it to you. I just feel like I'm in a God capsule, and I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if I never get my wife and kids back or the use of my body, and this was really dramatic to me when he said it, he said, I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. That's a biggie. Believe me, that's a biggie, because that's a forever thing. And so I was ministered to by him instead of me ministering to him. And I go back and see him again and again because of his God capsule and the relationship he was developing with our Savior. Now that sounds pretty hairy and pretty extreme, and may nothing ever that extreme happen to any of us. But it did to him, and I'm just sharing his experience. But he knew he's going to heaven. Our God is big. The circumstances are allowed for good reason in our lives. And we can put our heads up and march on no matter what comes down the pike, as we belong to him. And he's busy saving us forever. Forever is a long time. 100 years is a short time when it's over. And when it is over, I head on into eternity with the blessing of God and the power of God, and thanking God for every single thing that came my way to form me into the image of Jesus Christ and not be left here with a chain of pride around my neck. It's a wonderful thing that God does. And sometimes it's hard, but it's good. And so we come out of the slough of despond and we say, Lord, help me now to march on with Jesus in our God capsules, for that's where he has us and what he wants to do with us. And so we see the times were before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Where you live is where God has put you to live. The bounds of our habitation. Job tells us that he put the bounds upon the seas. The seas can only go so far, and that's how far they go. And at the time of the tsunamis, God allows the tsunamis to come in. But also the bounds of our habitation, where I was born, who I grew up by, how I met my wife. And I want to encourage you youth. I see you youth have come tonight, and God bless you guys. I love you guys. You know, most of you are waiting for husbands and wives, kind of trying to work that out in your minds. And you know, maybe the Lord will have some of you remain single and be like the Apostle Paul, but most of you will probably be married one day. But you know what? God has chosen your wife or husband out already, as Ralph turns around to look at a girl behind him. So, gotcha, Ralph. But God is the one. God's the one that does these things. He puts the bounds of our habitation, where we live, and so forth. That, verse 27, they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He is not far from every single person on the planet. For in him we live, we move, we have our being. As certain also of your own poets has said, we are also his offspring. The Apostle Paul here is actually quoting a Greek poet. And the Greek poet's name is, let me get it, I just want to read it to you instead of make mincemeat of it. Erastus, A-R-A-T-U-S. He lived 300 years before the Apostle Paul in the same area that Paul was preaching at in Athens, Greece. And he's quoting him word for word that we are his offspring, the offspring of God. To them, the unknown God who is becoming known through finding out his name, Jesus. We are of his offspring, we're his children. As many as received him gave he power to become the children of God. And because we're his children, and because we are close to him that way, we actually live in him, we move in him, and we have our being in the Lord. There isn't anything that we do that he doesn't know about, and there isn't any power we have that he didn't give us. As some of you begin to get older, you know, you'll begin to realize that your knees are a gift, a gift from God, your hips are a gift, to be able to move at all. And as you get a little older, sometimes it's even hard to get out of bed in the morning, you know, as you just kind of got to take one leg over and then get the other leg over. And this, I'm speaking from experience, but it gets worse. But the thing is that we actually, if we're able to move at all, it's God. If we're able to breathe at all, it's God. I know Pastor Steve can really talk about that because he's got asthma and others in the congregation have asthma too. And what a blessing just to breathe, just to breathe. That's the Lord. That's the sweet, precious God of ours that we actually move in Him and have our being. And so Romans 10:8 says this, and I want to just kind of conclude with this. But here, as we've been reading these last scriptures, it says that He's very near to every one of us. God is so close. He is so close to every one of us here. And we're told why that's true in Romans 10:8 in the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word of faith is really near to you, even in your mouth. The just shall live by faith. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. The just shall live by faith. And actually, as we express the word of faith to the Lord and about the Lord, that nearness is made so very real. So very real, instantly. He's right here. He's right here. Now, I'd like to actually turn there. I know a few of you turned, and I'm just quoting from my notes. But let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 8. And just start a little earlier and read this wonderful word of faith that makes us so close to God. Let's look at Romans and chapter 10. And I'm going to start with verse 6 there in chapter 10 of Romans. It says, "The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? How in the world am I going to get to heaven to find the Lord? Don't say that. That is to bring Christ down from above, or to somehow get a hold of Jesus and bring Him down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what says it? The word is near you." The word is right here. It's right near you. "Even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness." As I have faith in Christ and have the word of faith towards Him to say that He's my Lord and I believe that God raised Him from the dead. That is the word of righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the word of God is right there in my mouth to make that confession. God is so close to me and to you. He's right there. I remember, and you might try this because I don't need alarm clocks. I mean, that sounds funny, but my wife is still blown away with this some 30 years later. That I just don't, she says, "Should I turn the alarm on?" I say, "You can turn it on if you want, but I'll wake up before it goes off." Because years ago, I said to God, "God, would you wake me up? Would you be the one that wakes me up?" And that next morning, right there in front of my face, this really happened to me. I heard this, "Mark, Mark." And I wasn't afraid, but there was this voice right at my nose, "Mark." I opened my eyes and I just had a peace, but I knew it was Jesus waking me up because I asked Him to wake me up. And from that time, and you know, I'm not experiencing the mark every day, but it's just, if we got to get up at 6:30, I wake up at 6:20. If we got to get up at 5, I wake up at 10 to 5. It's just amazing. And so I think it's kind of a little special thing between me and God. And I'm blessed with it. But man, I'll never forget that voice. Mark, Mark. And it was just him, that close. He's that close. He's just right there in your mouth. If you will confess the Lord Jesus is the Lord, your Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. You're born again because of that confession. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for Pastor Lito. Lord, thank you, Father, for just having him share his heart with us. Lord, thank you that we have a way out of depression. We have a way out of the slough of despond. We have a way out, Lord, because you're big. And Lord, you know our times. Lord, you have appointed our bounds. You know where we live. You know how to help us breathe, how to help us walk with bad knees. Lord, you know what you're doing, and you're so very close. You're so very close by your Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. And as we are in prayer tonight, as we've read tonight, Romans 10, 9, and 10, we want to be sure to give the privilege and the opportunity of actually doing what the Word says. And so let's go ahead and say what we know is a sinner's prayer together. I'll say it and you repeat after me. And we want to pray these scriptures back up to the Lord and just experience his nearness as we talk to him through faith in his name. So let's repeat this prayer together. And if you say this prayer for the first time and mean it in your heart, you'll be becoming a Christian, a man or woman of faith, because you're asking Jesus to come into you and expressing faith in him. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need your help. Please come into me and save me. You are the Lord. I confess you as Lord. I believe that God raised you from the dead. So, Lord, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, it's just always such a blessing when I'm with the little kids sometimes to just say with them, you know, no one can say Jesus is the Lord and mean it except by the Holy Ghost. And so I'll say, Jesus is Lord. And the kids will say, Jesus is Lord. Let's just do that tonight, okay? Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Doesn't that feel good when you do that? Can't you feel the Holy Ghost bubbling up with that? Glory to God. Let's stand together. If you would desire prayer for anything tonight, the prayer room will be open and John Luke will be in there to pray with you. You can come down and greet Pastor Lito, and also Terry from Calvary Chapel, Big Bear. You can ask about that too. There's lots of squirrels up there. Well, may the Lord bless you. May God just continue to lead you, and may you just always, always know in the times of despair that there's somewhere to go. He's so close to you. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.